Oriona, Book 1, Legacy, Chapter 12, Brunch and Bonding. Ryan, kitchen and dining hall, the Oriona, 7 hours until arrival.
The kitchen filled with the quiet rhythm of preparation as Ryan worked, letting the simple act of cooking settle his mind. Oriona's kitchen held everything needed for a proper meal, the kind of thoughtful provisioning that spoke to her care in planning for her crew's comfort. The food synthesizer offered quiet assistance.
Polarian Nebri muffins complete.
But Ryan preferred crafting by hand when time allowed. The scent of fresh ingredients, the warmth of the stove, the steady motion of a blade against a cutting board, all of it carried purpose beyond mere sustenance. He'd chosen a brunch spread, something to bring them together before the next leg of their journey. Omelets steamed with fresh filling, griddle cakes waited for fruit compote, and toasted bread sat ready near preserves and butter. For heartier appetites, seasoned breakfast meats and crisp roasted tubers promised satisfaction. And, of course, coffee. No two star systems would ever agree on what made the perfect brew, but he'd found a blend in the pantry that promised enough warmth and caffeine to draw even the most reluctant early risers. A pot of spiced tea steeped nearby, its aroma mixing with the coffee's richer notes. The viewport dominated the dining hall, stretching from floor to ceiling in an unbroken sweep of transparent alloy. Ribbons of faster-than-light travel streaked past, their ethereal lights spilling across the kitchen and dining areas. The space felt welcoming, a pocket of warmth carved out against the infinite starfield beyond. He arranged each setting on the table with care, watching steam curl from the fresh plates of food as footsteps approached. Kellen entered first, scrubbed clean of Edgepoint's lingering grime. His pilot's steady movement remained, but something in his bearing had shifted. The careful way he'd combed his hair, the fresh clothes that still held their crisp lines. Small choices that acknowledged this wasn't another meal in some nameless station bar. "Hope you're hungry." Kellen's grin brightened his features, washing away the last traces of tension from yesterday's flight.
"If I wasn't before, I am now."
He chose a seat facing the viewport, unconsciously positioning himself where he could track their trajectory through space. His eyes swept over the spread with genuine appreciation, lingering on the fresh baked bread, his entire body welcoming the sight after years of Frontier Space's signature synthetic substitutes. Nix breezed in next, his antennae catching the mixed aromas of coffee and freshly prepared food. He paused at the threshold, eyes narrowing playfully at Kellen's strategic position near the largest platter of griddle cakes.
"Ah, you took the good seat. I guess I'll just have to sit over here and forage from the edges."
Kellen raised his cup in cheerful acknowledgement, not bothering to deny the accusation. Nix settled into a chair, arranging his long limbs into an emphasized distance.
"Do you have any idea how far I have to reach now?"
His antennae fully locked toward the steaming platters. Val followed next, transformed by more than just a change of clothes. The dark blue tunic flowed with her movements, its clean lines emphasizing the confidence that had always been there, just hidden beneath layers of station grime, worn engineering coveralls, and survival gear. Jotter kept close as his optics tracked the room with a noticeable attention to detail, taking in the meal Ryan had prepared with the same careful assessment Val brought to her engineering work. "Made enough for everyone," Ryan said, gesturing toward the laden table. "No need to hold back." Val lowered herself into a chair, her tunic rustling softly.
"Being shot at really works up an appetite. Count me in."
She reached for the nearest serving dish, then stopped. Her eyes moved around the table, doing a quiet count.
"We're one short."
Jotter chimed in with an electronic sound, settling into a chair that brought him eye level to Nix. No one moved to serve themselves. Ryan busied himself adjusting plates that didn't need adjusting, rearranging serving utensils already perfectly positioned. The silence stretched, not uncomfortable exactly, but expectant. He'd extended the invitation directly to Kai, had seen the exhaustion in the young man's eyes, the weight he carried. But extending an invitation and having someone accept it were different things entirely. Val caught his eye, a question in her glance. Ryan offered a small shrug, a gesture that said, "We'll see." The minutes accumulated. Then, footsteps in the corridor. Kai appeared. The change stopped conversation in its tracks. He stood in the doorway, still carrying that edge of careful observation, but everything else about him had shifted. The station's desperate edge had fallen away, replaced by clothing that spoke of Primus World refinement, fitted lines and subtle fabric that transformed more than just his appearance. More striking was how he inhabited the space differently, a slight decrease in the scanning for threats or exits.
"Well, now this is a transformation."
Kai met the teasing with unexpected poise.
"Just put on what was in my closet."
"You look put together,"
Val offered, her smirk carrying no judgment.
"Don't get used to it."
Kai settled into a chair, though his deflection carried less weight. Ryan placed tea before him, letting the gesture speak for itself. After a moment's consideration, Kai's quiet
"Thanks"
carried more than simple gratitude. All around them, the ribbons of faster-than-light transit spread across the viewport, painting moving stripes of color over the table and its fresh meal. Ryan took a seat as well, tension in his shoulders easing now that everyone had arrived. Well, almost everyone. "Oriona," he called softly, addressing the air, "would you like to join us?" Golden light shimmered as her holographic form materialized, taking shape with the fluidity that had marked all her appearances. Her expression carried warmth as she regarded the assembled crew.
"Thank you for the invitation."
Inclining her head toward Ryan,
"I hope you all found your quarters comfortable. How did everyone sleep?"
"Better than expected,"
Val replied, her voice softer than usual.
"First solid night of rest I've had in months, honestly. Jotter even powered down completely, which he never does on Edgepoint."
The bot's optics brightened in confirmation, a pleased electronic warble emanating from his frame.
"Perfect,"
Kellen added, his military reserve temporarily giving way to genuine contentment.
"Better than I have in about 2 years, if I'm being honest."
Nix's stretch became a small production, arms sweeping, joints popping, ending with a satisfied sigh.
"I was unconscious the moment my head hit the nerve support gel. Oriona had replicated a Womoli tree, and I haven't seen anything like them away from Tarika or our colonies. So that was a nice little surprise."
Ryan paused, his attention sharpening. In all their time together, through medical emergencies, late-night research sessions, Nix's endless theatrical commentary, he'd heard elaborate theories about viral mutations, colorful DeCavo anecdotes, and detailed catalogs of Dr. Vasquez's administrative failures. Tarika Prime had rarely come up. Rarely. And never like this. Almost in passing, as though it had simply slipped out.
"I have shared sleeping quarters with Ryan for 2 years. He keeps the humidity at a level I can only describe as aggressively arid."
A gesture toward Ryan entirely without apology.
"But last night, my own room, proper humidity. For the first time in years, I could have sworn I was back near the Zara Ray Oasis pools."
Ryan smiled at that. Then noticed the room had gone quiet, collective attention settling on Kai. Kai met the expectant silence with a small, carefully neutral expression.
"I explored the ship's ambient sound library."
No one pressed him on it. It was enough that Kai had offered anything at all. "Please," Ryan gestured to the spread before them. "Dig in." He watched how each person approached the spread, seeing an unspoken language in the process. Kellen piled protein first, as if bracing for the next mission. His eyebrows rose at the first bite of omelet, though he kept up a brisk pace as if mealtime might be cut short at any moment. Val chose methodically, spacing her selections with the care of someone used to optimizing everything, from engine layouts to small talk. Jotter's lenses followed her choices as though verifying each step. Nix, true to form, made an art project of his plate, layering flavors in odd combinations that he dramatically narrated.
And this goes here. Oh, that's gotta go there.
Each new taste sparked another observation, his eyes closing in exaggerated bliss as he savored bite. Despite his refined outer appearance, Kai still tested every bite first. He spooned a small portion of the fruit compote onto his plate, then paused, dipped his finger into the mixture, and swiped it across the inside of his forearm. Watching the skin carefully, he waited for a reaction that never came before finally taking his first bite. The gesture wasn't lost on Ryan, a frontier folk quirk, born from star systems where food sources weren't always reliable, and allergic reactions could mean the difference between a shift worked and a shift spent in medical. It was the kind of careful habit that marked someone who'd learned to survive on the edges, where trusting the wrong meal could be fatal. Once satisfied the food was safe, Kai settled into a steady, almost eager pattern, returning more than once to both the compote and the fresh bread. Conversation flowed between bites, finding its own natural rhythm. Nix regaled them with an increasingly elaborate theory about the psychological implications of griddle cake preferences, his hands gesturing emphatically with each point. Val interjected with occasional dry commentary, while Jotter's optical sensors tracked the discussion with apparent fascination. The food disappeared steadily from serving plates, replaced by the gentle clink of utensils and the quiet splash of fresh coffee being poured. Through the viewport, FTL streams painted ever-changing patterns across their faces, lending an ethereal quality to this ordinary moment. Kellen reached for thirds, his earlier grin settling into contentment. Nearby, Kai methodically worked through a second helping of everything. Between them, half-finished conversations about shield configurations and flight trajectories wove together with growing comfortable familiarity. Oriona's golden form shifted subtly with each change in lighting, her presence an added element to the crew's emerging dynamics. She offered occasional insights of her own, her observations seamlessly integrating into the natural flow of discussion. Ryan noticed she favored input in lulls, as if artistically bridging moments. Kellen leaned back slightly, a smirk pulling at the corner of his mouth.
"Well, since we're all here,"
he said, tapping his spoon against his bowl,
"I think we can all admit we read Oriona's compiled reports on each other."
A beat of silence. Then, collective amusement rippled through the table. Even Kai, who had been quietly dissecting his meal, huffed a small laugh and shook his head. Val quirked a brow, tilting her head toward Kellen.
"So, did we meet your expectations?"
Kellen took another bite and shrugged with a playful air.
"Mostly."
Nix leaned forward, body posturing with curiosity.
"All right then, let's make it interesting."
His glossy black eyes scanned the table, assessing, mischief curling at the edges of his voice.
"Since we already know the basics, where we're from, what skills we bring to the table, let's go beyond the file."
There was no pressure in the way he asked it, just curiosity, an opening, a chance to share something deep or something surface level. Val was the first to answer. She set her spoon down, crossing her arms over the table as she considered it.
"All right,"
she said, giving a small nod like she'd come to a decision.
"I used to paint."
That got a few surprised looks.
"What? Before you ask, no, it wasn't some hidden talent kind of thing. I was terrible."
"Oh, I would pay to see that."
"Not a chance."
Val pointed a finger at him, but her expression was amused.
"But yeah, back in the day, I used to take whatever scraps of material I could find and just put color on things. Didn't matter if it was walls, spare hull plating, old tech casings. It was just...
She hesitated, then shrugged.
Something to do.
Ryan could see it. The way she moved and how she analyzed everything with a mechanic's mind. Painting must have been a rare indulgence. Something without rules or functions. Kellen leaned forward, resting his arms on the table.
Do you still?
Val shook her head.
Haven't in years.
Something in her tone made Ryan wonder if she ever intended to again.
All right.
Kellen nodded, leaning back.
That's a good one. Who's next?
Kai straightened, professional composure flowing across his features.
I tried growing what I thought were centurion berries in maintenance shafts. Turns out level 20's atmospheric scrubbers create the perfect environment for predatory flora.
Val's spoon clattered against her bowl.
That was you?
Kai's careful delivery cracked as Val burst into laughter, her reaction drawing curious looks from around the table.
4 years ago, half of the station's maintenance crew refused to service level 20's primary ventilation system because something kept trying to eat their diagnostic probes.
She wiped at her eyes.
The plant had wrapped itself through 3 junction boxes.
It got a bit ambitious,
Kai admitted, the corner of his mouth twitching.
Started reaching for bigger targets.
Nix clapped his hands together.
You're telling me our refined friend here cultivated carnivorous station flora?
It was supposed to be small. Just an experiment. Didn't expect it to develop a more sophisticated taste.
Yeah, well, station admin ignored it, eating surplus security mech for months.
Val set her mug down.
That is, until it became a real problem when it reached the flappers and a hard dock.
Val added, causing Nix to nearly choke on his drink.
Jotter and I were still relatively new to Edgepoint. The hard dock is not a docking port.
Oh, yeah! Only one of the best adult entertainment establishments in the frontier.
Kellen blinked. Ryan cleared his throat.
I got called in when they threw together an emergency engineering task force.
You've all been summoned here because we have a bit of a situation unfolding in some of the lower levels' power distribution junctions. Kill the plant by the end of the day cycle, and we'll double the rate.
Jotter, Jotter, I need you to hold that junction box open.
Celestial shit! It's everywhere!
No! It's eating my tip money!
Oh, stars! It's gotten into the hard dock supplements and intimacy assistance meds.
It's throbbing! It's really throbbing now!
Its vines are so hard, we can't cut through it. Flappers, you've all got to get out of here. Jotter, toss me the Tarkarian flamethrower. Let's just say accidental ecological warfare wasn't covered in any of my engineering textbooks.
So that's why level 20 still has those no unauthorized botany signs?
Yeah, among other reasons,
Kai said, lifting his tea in a mock salute to his unintentional legacy. Nix's attention sharpened on Kellen, a glint in his eyes as his fingertips tapped a thoughtful rhythm against his chin.
All right, Captain Charming. Your turn.
Kellen's posture shifted, military-trained muscles releasing their perpetual readiness as he tilted his head back. The lighting from the viewport cast stellar patterns across his features, highlighting the way his expression balanced between consideration and something more calculated. Then his face arranged itself into perfect neutrality.
I knit.
The confession dropped into complete stillness. Even the soft clink of utensils against plates ceased.
You knit.
Kellen's nod carried the same steady confidence he'd shown while piloting them through yesterday's firefight. A bright laugh burst from Val, the sound carrying notes of honest delight.
You're serious?
Completely.
A genuine smile transformed Kellen's features as he set down his mug.
My mom picked it up during those long cargo runs between systems. Said the repetitive motion helped combat the endless waiting between jumps.
He settled back, coffee steam coiling in the artificial gravity.
None of my siblings had the patience for it, and being the oldest still at home, I started learning with her. Simple things at first, scarves, gloves, little projects for the younger ones.
The light from passing stars caught in his green eyes, memories softening his expression.
She'd work these incredible patterns into everything. Stories, really, if you knew how to read them. Didn't touch yarn much during my sector guard days, but some skills stick with you, even when you're not looking to keep them.
He lifted one shoulder in a half shrug. Kai shook his head, mouth quirking.
You know, that kind of revelation would have gotten you killed on any level below 15. A hard-earned sect guard reputation, destroyed by yarn.
Unless Wallerina got wind of it. Her workshop was always acquiring skilled hands.
Nix elbowed Kellen.
I'm a little offended. Wallerina never once approached me, and I have the best hands on the station. Just ask...
Val interrupted by striking her fork against the plate.
Amazing how many people with technical skills end up owing her favors. Never seen them leave either.
Guess I dodged that particular recruitment drive.
His gaze moved from Val to Kai, warmth returning to his features.
I have to admit, the company here is significantly more appealing than any backroom operation.
I'll be inclined to agree, but only after you knit me something. Something fabulous.
All right then, I'll see what I can do.
Ryan noted how this exchange had altered the crew's collective energy. The revelation of this unexpected skill had somehow made Kellen more approachable. It was fascinating how such small disclosures could reshape group dynamics. Kellen leaned back.
Well, Doc, your turn for revelations.
Ryan's fingers traced the ceramic edge of his mug, steam rising between them as he weighed decades of stories. The soft drone of the ship's air recyclers filled the thoughtful pause. Nix's grin widened, indicating a mischievous thought.
Oh, tell them about Rocco 6.
Rocco 6.
He wants the story of my first medical assistant bot.
Rocco the legend.
Ryan rubbed his temples, a gesture of deep remembered fatigue. I was desperate. Broke. Fresh out of my residency. Bought it off some shady dealer on Meridian 346.
Yeah, Doc. He's a good medical assistant. He'll make your job a lot easier.
Does he have prior surgery experience with Centurions or Lobus?
The best in the system. You'd have to travel 2 gates to find anything better.
What he failed to mention was its previous life as a holo gangster for an immersive crime drama.
Ooh, this is gonna be good.
The first red flag should have been when I activated it and its first words were, Doctor...
No! Do it right! Do the voice!
Ryan released a sound of profound defeat and cleared his throat.
Yo, Doc, nice little medical practice you got here. Be a real shame if something happened to it, you know?
Kellen snorted into his drink, trying and failing to contain his laughter. But I was 3 months behind on rent, Ryan continued, returning to his normal voice, so I convinced myself it just had character. He shook his head slowly. My first patient was an elderly Centaurian grandmother with arthritis.
Oh, it's my back again, Dr. Jengu. Just the consequences of being old, my dear.
You're looking great, Mrs. Holt.
You're experiencing some joint inflammation that we can manage with medication.
He paused, bracing himself. Rocco looked this sweet old woman dead in her four eyes and growled,
Listen up, see? The doc says you got some rusty hinges. He's gonna slide you some juice to grease you up. Now take the stuff and scram before you make the place look bad, you hear?
Oh dear, that's a little rude.
Kellen was now quietly wheezing with laughter, his shoulders shaking.
What was the final straw?
Ryan's voice dropped, becoming serious. Emergency surgery. a freighter captain had a massive heart attack. The family was gathered. It was touch and go for hours. I finally stabilized him, went out to give them the good news. I said, "He's going to make a full recovery." The entire table held its breath. Rocco stepped in front of me, surveyed the worried family, and announced,
"I'm gonna be straight with you. The man you marry, gone, done. Whatever he was before today, forget it. That guy's not coming back."
Oh, stars!
The wife fainted.
Nix cackled, slamming his hand on the table.
just dropped!
You killed my father? You're gonna pay for this, Doc.
Wait, there must have been a mistranslation.
I'll show you a mistranslation, you son of a bitch.
You want a piece of my circuits? You want a piece of my circuits?
Luca, no!
Rocco did eventually amend what he meant.
What is coming back is somebody who eats right and does what the Doc says. Think of it as a trade-in.
Ryan picked up his tea. After that, I decided working with an intentionally dramatic assistant was a significant upgrade.
Damn right.
Most days. Then all eyes shifted to Nix, who took a moment to bask in the attention. He tapped his chin, drawing out the silence like a seasoned performer.
All right. Picture this. DeCavo Prison's mandatory vocational training program.
Kai raised a brow.
Oh, please. They barely trusted half the inmates to hold a broom properly. But they had to pretend they were rehabilitating us, so they offered classes, cooking, fabrication, xenolinguistics. You know, the essentials. Naturally, I chose theater arts.
They let you, of all people, take theater?
Valonara, I was an incredible addition to DeCavo's thriving arts scene. Without my visionary interpretation, that production had absolutely no chance of winning a pardon. Not the traditional pardon. A performing arts recognition for distinguished original narratives. And the competition was fierce that cycle.
Ryan rubbed his temple as Nix leaned forward, his voice dropping conspiratorially.
For once, DeCavo reached for something with genuine artistic ambition. No conqueror shall name these ruins, which, for those of you tragically unenlightened souls, is the great Inner Meridian Zone tragedy about the Trisendence, their secession from the Council, and their choice to, well, you know, unalive their own planet.
Let me guess, you played the tragic hero.
Oh, Prince Kaelervin, the galactic heartthrob of the Trisendency Wars.
He gestured at himself, slowly, top to bottom.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, I had prepared a whole internal landscape mapped out for that character, but the warden, Director Hesopoli, said my vision lacked the existential dread of a civilization facing self-inflicted oblivion.
His antennae stilled.
Cell Block 2's Grimby got the part. Remarkable stage presence, but absolutely nothing happening behind those eyes.
How many people actually auditioned for this? Was it that competitive?
Extremely.
Nix straightened with great dignity.
You were lucky to even make callbacks, so it was inevitable that I would be cast.
Ryan, without looking up from his cup, said, as grieving war widow number 4.
The what now?
I was Lady Antheria.
Nix gave Ryan a look.
And let me tell you, I stole the show.
And how did you do that?
Well, the script may have been a tad overwritten. Very, very bleak monologues. Lady Antheria, on the datapad, wasn't exactly spotlight material. So I made a few creative adjustments.
You rewrote a revered tragedy?
Oh, I elevated it. The script called for a tearful farewell. A few lines, a lingering look, exit stage left. I felt that undersold the moment on two counts. First, Lady Antheria had thoughts about the Meridian Council's role in the whole affair that the playwright completely ignored. So I delivered a 40-minute soliloquy on the geopolitical consequences of sending your husband to die for a council that started the war in the first place.
That's a long time to talk.
Oh, I wasn't just talking.
Nix tilted his head.
Second, Lady Antheria deserved a proper goodbye. The Prince of Polaria, dissident, cast out of the royal family, architect of the longest fracture of the crown in known history, deserved to feel what he was leaving behind. So there was also interpretive movement.
Like a performance?
The tragedy of no conqueror shall name these ruins hinges entirely on Caelervin. His presence, his weight. The audience must feel him. What Lady Antheria is losing, what she is sending into the void. Or the whole thing collapses.
Nix pushed back from the table and crossed to the floor-to-ceiling viewport, hands clasped behind his back. The FTL ribbons found him immediately, slow, cold bands of light sliding across his scales, draining the orange to something brackish and unreadable, swallowing the purple entirely. His antennae, usually expressive and restless, went still. In the shifting dark, they cast long, thin shadows up the viewport glass. He looked, Ryan thought, genuinely ominous. Possibly on purpose, possibly not. With Nix, the distinction had never been easy to locate.
Grimby understood the blocking, the costumes, the general shape of a man standing on a stage. But he did not understand Caelervin and Lady Antheria. She cannot grieve, cannot send off a man the audience doesn't believe in.
He turned just slightly. The light caught the length of his antennae and threw their shadows sideways across the glass, long and crooked, like something from a horror hollow.
Fortunately for the production, Grimby fell ill.
Kellen stared at him.
Did you...
As unfortunate as it was for Grimbley, the number one rule in theater, the show must go on. Lady Antheria was sending her husband off to war.
Nix returned to the table, settling back into his chair with complete composure.
I felt she deserved a proper goodbye. Something the prince would carry with him. So I fashioned a Prince Caelervin from laundry bags and a leftover protein sausage ration.
Silence. Kellen set his mug down slowly as Kai asked carefully,
The movement piece was with a prop?
And it was a sausage prop.
Lady Antheria needed to say goodbye thoroughly. Physically.
Goodbye, my prince. My prince.
Show me the crown! Show me the crown!
My princey.
That's enough, 8429.
You're almost there, my prince. Almost there. Wow, that's a lot of Polaria.
Oh, hell no.
Oh my god.
The audience understood immediately. The warden was less interpretively generous.
They threw you in solitary, didn't they?
For 3 weeks.
Kellen raised his mug.
To Lady Antheria.
Lady Antheria.
And to the Prince Caelervin of Laundry Bags, who I think of from time to time.
Laughter rippled around the table, Val hiding her smile behind her cup, Kellen's shoulders shaking with suppressed laughter, Kai trying to maintain his composed facade. Ryan caught Oriona's projection at the edge of his vision, still watching, her expression somewhere between analysis and something warmer than that. She held it a moment longer, then inclined her head to the table with quiet satisfaction, as though confirming something she had already suspected. Her projection dissolved, and behind where she had stood, the kitchen counter's display glowed quietly. A countdown timer. 2 hours and 53 minutes remaining until their mission briefing. Ryan was the first to see it. He reached for his tea and let the laughter run its course. Across the table, Kai did the same, unhurried, almost as though he'd been waiting for a reason to stop laughing.